Marcus Smart is back. Romeo Langford was supposed to be. I'm going to talk about the Celtics' first practice back from the break on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing at this moment as you listen to my voice through your headphones, maybe in your car, maybe in that speaker you have in the bathroom while you take a shower, thank you for making this show a part of your day. I really do appreciate it. I'm John Corrales. I host the show Monday through Friday. If you're new, this is a daily podcast, so please subscribe. You're going to get it to your device every day, Monday through Friday. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. You can subscribe to Boston Sports Journal with the promo code Corrales. You're going to get $5 off the annual subscription, and that works out to be less than $3 a month. And I think that's worth it. I also am the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which you can now buy anywhere. Links and a way to buy a personalized copy, signed copy, on my website, johncorrales.com. Today, I'm going to be talking about Marcus Smart, his return, the Celtics' return to practice. Marcus Smart was back. He practiced. He feels good. I'll talk about that. Also, Romeo Langford was supposed to be there, but was not. Poor kid, man. I just feel bad for this kid. Segment three, we're going to do a new thing here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, joining Locker Room for a weekly discussion, and I'm going to share some of that discussion in the podcast. I'll talk more about that in segment three. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories there. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in this episode. So the Boston Celtics were back. They got onto the practice floor, which is not something that they have been able to do much of at all. And on that practice floor was Marcus Smart, which is nice. Marcus Smart back, says he feels good, says he's ready to come back, and unless he wakes up with some sort of feeling in that calf, he's going to play. The Celtics put out their injury report on Wednesday, and he was not on it. So he is, as of right now, cleared to play. No reason to think that he'll be ruled out unless something weird comes up. So it's good to have Smart back, obviously. This is gonna put the Celtics in a position here where they can maybe start to like limit some minutes, or not limit some minutes, get guys back into some more realistic minutes. Instead of 38 and 39 minutes, they can get Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, the 33, 34. I'm hoping that they can just get a normal rotation down. So, and I'm going to share this actually, because this was tweeted to me by @lissmx14, who noted that Jason Tatum has played the most minutes in the NBA since his return on January 25th. And is actually, fourth in total miles run via the tracking data. Jason Tatum's played too much. He's played a little too much. For a guy that's come back from COVID, for a guy that's trying to, get his breath back and have his lungs work. So that's something that the Celtics need to just tamp down a little bit. Now, it would be great if Romeo Langford was back and he could help with his, just coming in off the bench, filling in some minutes at the wing. But he did not return on Wednesday because he is now in the health and safety protocol. And I just feel bad for Romeo that if it's not one thing, it's another sometimes. And I understand some people are frustrated. Let's be careful when you express some, dismay that this is happening. This is something that's happened to so many guys. This has been a thing, happened to the Sixers, happened to Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Like, either I don't even know if he caught it or if it's contact tracing. I have no idea. But, everyone is susceptible to this. The key is that he hopefully doesn't have it and that he's healthy and that he's safe. And let's not turn the COVID thing into, oh, he's hurt again. Yes, it's bad luck. Yes, I understand this feeling like, man, it's always something it feels like. But let's not turn this into like an injury thing. This is COVID. This is different. Whenever he's back, whenever that clears up, he should be back. He was cleared to play. Brad Stevens expected him on the practice floor. So we're going to see at some point soon, we hope, a fully healthy team. Marcus Smart had a couple of interesting things to say. Mostly what he's saying is what he hopes is that he can get guys playing up to his level of intensity, not his level of defense, but his level of intensity where they're all trying and they're all just giving that same level of effort. Obviously Smart is going to be a better defender, but they need to match him. And Marcus said, look, he says, quote, I think many factors went into our downfall, especially on the defensive end. Fatigue for one, not having all the players, I think, for us, our starting group, blah, 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 blah. I think we played 28 minutes together total over the course of the season. So he's in there. He's talking about how the starters haven't even played much together in this season, that there's fatigue, that there's a lack of continuity. And so he feels like he's going to try to raise everyone's game. That's going to be the biggest thing for him, to try to raise everyone's intensity. This is part of what I was saying, what they miss. Having a guy out there that is able to kind of pull something out of guys when they don't have it. That's one of Marcus Smart's great skills, is being a motivator on the floor. And I think between that and the organizing that he can do on the floor, getting guys into the right place, that's going to be a great help. Now, Brad Stevens said that his minutes are going to be pretty low to start, at least in the first couple of games. But slowly he'll get worked up. What does low mean? He didn't have an actual number. So one of the pregame questions we're going to ask him is, so have you settled on what the minutes restriction is going to be? I'm going to guess it's somewhere around 20. What they don't want, I'm sure there's going to be some, they're going to want to ramp him up, because there's not going to be a fear of re-injuring necessarily the calf, but they just don't want him to go out too hard, too fast, and maybe injure something else. Because these muscle injuries, you've really got to make sure you're ramping guys up. You can't dive in head first. You've missed a month of NBA basketball. You can't just dive in head first and play 35 minutes. You've got to get out there. You've got to slowly ramp it up. Get out of the game, see how he feels, and then get back out there and try it again for a five-minute stretch. That alone is going to give Brad Stevens some interesting decisions. Is Marcus Smart going to start? Is he going to come off the bench? Where is he best used? If he starts, what is the starting lineup going to be? I assume that it's going to be Jason, Jalen, Kemba, Marcus. And which center is it? That's going to be a question. How does Brad Stevens allocate those center minutes? That's going to be a question. We're going to see that tomorrow night. So when I do the post-game podcast, one of the things we're going to talk about is, do Who did Brad Stevens sit? Who missed out on most of the minutes? And it's gonna be really interesting to see how those minutes are spread around. It's gonna get even more interesting once Romeo Langford is back. I assume, hopefully, within a week to 10 days, if he doesn't have the COVID, maybe sooner. If he does, then it just kind of depends on symptomatic and all of that. We don't know what the answer is, but really, just a lot more, changes, options, and maybe some normalcy for Brad Stevens. I'm going to talk about more of the practice in the next segment, but also talk some of the trade deadline and how Bradley Beal, I think, figures into the trade deadline stuff. That is coming up next. But first, I've got to name the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, which is an interesting week to do this and the trade deadline. We've partnered with Michelob Ultra. Every week, we're handing out our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. And really, the whole concept is it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Which player has given us the most joy, the most happiness from the past week? Well, it was the All-Star game, right? And which of the Celtics was in there giving us the most joy? I got to give it to Jaylen Brown, who came off the bench and was not shy about shooting. He did not go to Atlanta to pass the ball. And the result was a 22-point night on 8 of 12, shooting 5 of 7 from 3, including a wicked turnaround, falling out of bounds three-pointer, and a 4-point play, which resulted in an awesome moment where his brother was sitting on the sidelines and he kind of was able to come through and pick him up. And that gave Jaylen Brown, you talk about joy. You talk about a moment of pure joy and happiness. That's the moment right there. How can I give that moment? How can I give this to anybody but Jaylen Brown? He is experiencing it. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, you say? That was worth it for Jaylen Brown. You can tell after the game how happy he was. Joy creates success, and at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, Michelob Ultra is a beer that you can enjoy. It's not the end game, it's the whole game. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, and congratulations, Jaylen Brown, on being the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. BetOnline.ag is the place to go to bet on all your sports actions. The easiest place to place your bets on the NBA, college basketball, NHL, baseball, or many other sports that are played around the world that many of our international listeners may want to follow. They even cover awards, TV shows, reality TV, with updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Go to betonline.ag, sign up for free, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So whatever you deposit, 50% of that on top of it. So you deposit $500, it's a $250 welcome bonus. Make that one good, make it count, and you're going to get a nice 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. Make sure you sign up right now with that promo code. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics on Twitter and Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
If you've signed up for your BetOnline account, now download the Locked On Bets podcast. It's a new podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored, WTF, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. In this practice, we learned that Brad Stevens did give Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum a little extra time off. They were given the team scrimmaged, but they did not participate. Those two did not participate in that scrimmage, so which is good. There is also, we learned, no plan to keep Kemba Walker, to bring Kemba Walker back for any of these back-to-backs right now, as we can assume that he is just not playing in back-to-backs moving forward and may never play in a back-to-back this year. I mean, I guess unless there's desperation, there's no need. There is no need. I mean, unless the Celtics are somehow in danger of falling out of the playoffs and it's just absolute desperation, just do not assume that Kemba Walker is going to be playing in back-to-backs. That's just not something that's going to happen. Other news that happened today, LaMarcus Aldridge is not going to return to the San Antonio Spurs. I bring this up because I was asked a couple of times, hey, do you think that's going to be somebody the Celtics can go for? No. He makes like $24 million or $20 million. I forget where it was. But he makes too much money, so the Celtics are not going to trade for him. He's 35. His numbers have dropped off of a cliff. So LaMarcus Aldridge, good luck to you. If he ends up getting bought out, then depending on what Danny Ainge does in the couple of weeks before the trade deadline, he might be looking around for a buyout guy. And if you trade Tristan Thompson, if that is one of the things that the Celtics do, something that we've talked about, and you're looking for a third big, an insurance type of thing, if LaMarcus Aldridge is willing to do that, then yeah, sure, fine. Basically, there's no wrong move with a veteran minimum contract with one of the buyout guys, because you bring him in on the veteran minimum, and if he sucks or if he says, oh, geez, I didn't expect this, this role, I want out. Okay, fine, you're cut. Boom, done. Bye. So if that's a scenario, fine. Like I said before, if Andre Drummond is cut and on the buyout market and the Celtics want to take a flyer on him, I'm out on Andre Drummond as a good basketball player. I think he's not a good basketball player. But for a veteran minimum, yeah, whatever. Like, if he comes in and it's just like, ugh, gross, then cut him. Forget it. Doesn't matter. So, but that's long shot stuff. That's long shot stuff. LaMarcus Aldridge does not make any sense. The Celtics should not use him for the traded player exception. They should not use him for his contract. This is the last year of his contract. You're not going to re-sign him. There's just no need for LaMarcus Aldridge. So good luck to you. Interesting scenario there in San Antonio. Now, one thing I think the Celtics and Danny Ainge are really going to consider. I talked yesterday or a couple days ago, about the luxury tax scenario. I wrote that on bostonsportsjournal.com. And that is still part of the front and center, has to be one of the considerations. Danny Ainge cannot blow the luxury tax. He cannot blow the opportunity to reset that repeater tax clock. Because if he does, then what you're going to have is decisions that have to be made a year or two early for financial reasons. It's just not going to be. It's not going to be great. We're going to have to make. We're going to have to watch them make decisions, unlike Marcus Smart. Which you don't want to lose Marcus Smart because you're worried about the luxury tax. You know, like if Marcus Smart signs a ridiculous deal somewhere and he's out of your price range, okay, but you don't want to lose him because, well, it's a reasonable deal for Marcus Smart. We just don't want to pay it because, you know, we screwed up the luxury tax thing and now we're going to pay a repeater and we don't want to go that deep into the repeater. Like, that's not something that is. That is very, very bad. That would be very, very bad. I would have a problem with that. But on top of that, I think one angle that we haven't really considered much is that Danny Ainge has to consider the future. He has to consider potentially game-changing players being available 2 years from now, 3 years from now, a year from now. Like, the moves we all get caught up in, you got to help this team. We're in the moment. What can Danny Ainge do at the deadline to help this team? And if you look at it through that little microscope, you say he can go for Harrison Barnes. He can go for Aaron Gordon. He can go for whomever your favorite guy is. And that could help this team in the short term, which is important. It is important. You don't want to just be like, hey, guys, sorry. I have plans 2 years from now, so your hard work this year doesn't matter. You don't want that either. But what you don't want is to use all of your assets now to get these guys and then not have any real tradable young assets down the road. That's going to be where the Danny Ainge might get a little, gun shy about trading. We talk about, hey, you can trade Romeo Langford. Hey, you can trade Aaron Nesmith for, one of these guys. I mentioned those guys in relation to Aaron Gordon. And in the short term, you say, yeah, is that a little bit of an overpay? Sure. But you do it because it snaps some few things into focus. And I like how that fits with the roster. Great. That's great. But does that burn assets that you want for 2 years from now? And this is where the Bradley Beal thing comes in. Because we all knew that Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum were friends. Like, we knew that they were very good friends. But, man, this past weekend, the All-Star Game really, really highlighted how close they really are. They played on the same team, and, boy, those guys were super happy about playing on the same team. They were excited. Now, part of that is, like, the novelty, because they had never, to this point in their lives, been on the same team, and that was, like, the first time, and the first time is the best time, and all of that, like, but at the same time, that reaction from both of them really stuck with me because they really liked playing with each other. And they didn't really play with each other. They were just on the same team and on the floor a couple times in an All-Star game. So imagine how much fun they would have playing together on the same team in the NBA. And Bradley Beal has been very loyal to the Wizards. And I kind of like that he's been loyal to the Wizards. It's kind of like Damian Lillard with Portland, although Portland's been good, but just not good enough. But I kind of like a player being loyal to those, to their teams. And Portland has made some better decisions than Washington. But hey, you're there, you want to build something. I get that. Trust me, I get that. I love that concept. And so maybe Bradley Beal never wants to leave the Wizards. And fine. Good. Great. Stay there your whole career. But maybe if he does say, well, if I will go anywhere, it would be to play with Jason Tatum. Well, then that's a little different story. Because that's the one ace in the hole that Danny Ainge has, right? What do no other teams have but Danny Ainge has in the Bradley Beal, any potential Bradley Beal sweepstakes? It's, hey, you want to come play with Jason Tatum? Because you can talk about Miami and how nice it is there, and you can talk about LA and, you know, the spotlight and all of that stuff. But the lure of playing with your best friend is a strong one. Now, obviously, like LeBron did once, if you could do that in Miami, then that's a double bonus. But hey, he's played in Washington. It's not like the Washington weather is particularly great. Washington, Boston, you get a lot of the same stuff. Maybe not to the same degree. Definitely not to the same degree. But you're still, it's not like you're in LA, right? It's not like you're on the beach. So I bring all this up not to say that Tatum and Beal are going to definitely plot to play together. I don't know that that's going to happen. They may not. There are a lot of guys who are friends in the NBA that would like to play together, but never do. That's, you know, who knows what's going to happen over the next, like, Beal has to play next year and then opt out if he's going to do it the free agent route, or he's going to play next year and then request a trade. And then Tatum is under contract. His 5-year deal, 4 years guaranteed, so we can say 4-year guaranteed deal, is, it doesn't start till next year. But who knows? Maybe he could force his way out if he wanted to, I suppose. We just saw it with James Harden, but I don't, I think I'm take this for what it's worth at the moment. So I'm not going to say that these two guys are going to be so disruptive that they're going to force their way somewhere. I don't think that's the case. Actually, I don't think that they're going to, I don't think that that desire to play with each other is going to make them be something that they're not. And I think Tatum, who is a marketable guy and has a pretty high Q rating and is getting all these Subway ads, I don't think him pulling a James Harden is going to be great for the ads, you know? So he's probably going to want to play it a lot cooler. But Danny Ainge, as he's looking forward, says, I got Jason Tatum. Bradley Beal may want out. Is he going to try to force his way to New York? Or is he going to try to force his way somewhere that he can play with his very good friend, Jason Tatum? And what can Danny Ainge do to make that happen? So as Danny Ainge is progressing through his options, just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind that he does have longer term things that he is considering. And as much as I've been in the past like this, you've got to use the TPE now, my thinking has kind of evolved on this. The more I think about it, the more I try to play out the what might happen, the more I realize, like, okay, can't get too caught up in that. Yes, Danny Ainge needs to make a move, because also the guy that you trade for in this flurry of moves, whatever flurry of moves might be coming, that or multiple guys, those players could be part of that plan, you know? So that's also a thing that could happen. Just another possibility. This trade deadline is going to be crazy, and there are so many things that a GM is going to think about. It's hard to keep track of everything. I'm going to leave that there for now. I'm going to have a big piece on this on Boston Sports Journal in the morning, further laying out my argument. So please go read it on Boston Sports Journal so you can get a sense of what I'm trying to say with the Bradley Beal thing. That's going to be on Boston Sports Journal. Sign up if you haven't. Use the promo code Corrales. You're going to get $5 off the annual subscription. And like I said, that's less than $3 a month. Using that promo code Corrales also lets them know that you joined up to read my stuff primarily. Makes me look good. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. Up next, some of the conversation that I had on Locker Room, which is a new app. And I, as an old person, love trying out new apps. My favorite thing to do. That is coming up next. Rock Auto is the place you want to go if you're going to buy anything you need for your car. Don't go to one of those traditional chain stores in a strip mall. That's not going to help you out, because not only do you have to drive there and spend time giving your car information to a person behind the counter, that person is now going to go to some shelf in a very limited storage area and give you whatever they have, not giving you any choice in that part. This is the brand we have. This is what you're going to get. This is the only one you can get. So go to rockauto.com. By the time you fill in that information yourself, your car's information yourself, you will have already, in that same amount of time, rifled through their super easy to navigate catalog and gone through all the different parts that your car or truck might need. And by the way, you could save 30 to 50 to 100% more on those exact same parts. So I don't see any reason to go to any of those chain stores. But here's more. RockAuto.com doesn't change their prices based on whether you're a pro or a do-it-yourselfer. They don't change their prices like an airline ticket based on what the market would bear. Those are silly reasons to change their prices on a product like that. Go to RockAuto.com. It's a family business, so they know how to treat you right. Check them out. By the time you go through it all, I know you're going to buy something for your car. And then at that point, make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. That is super important. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. I've been telling you about Built Bar for a while. I think it's the best tasting protein bar in the market. I've been spending my own money to buy some because that's how much I like them. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Amazing tasting protein bar covered in 100% chocolate. Now we're trying to figure out which one is the best. It's March. It's March Madness time. It's time for a bracket. So they're doing Built Bar Madness. So if you go to BuiltBar.com, you'll see right at the beginning, will your favorite flavor win? And a big yellow vote now button. And you have the full bracket. So check them out. Today's matchups, German chocolate cake versus salted caramel, and mocha love versus white chocolate birthday cake. I'm salted caramel. Oh, I love that one. It might be my second favorite, actually. I just love salted and sweet together. Perfect. Not a big fan of birthday cake, so I'm going with mocha love myself on the second one. But if you go to BuiltBar.com, you can vote for yourself. Check them out. Tell them which one is your favorite, or go to bar_built on Twitter, @bar_built. Tweet at them. You'll see the brackets on there as well. Let them know. Remember, while you're on their website, use a promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts, or follow us on Spotify.
Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, how much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to Locked On NBA Draft. It's a podcast with prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow on Locked On NBA Draft. We're doing a new thing here on the Locked On Podcast Network and here on the Locked On Celtics Podcast, Locker Room, which I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's a new app. You go in, it's kind of like a group chat, an audio group chat, a conference call, if you will, where I will host once a week, I will host a conversation. And you hop on, you follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. I will tweet that out and you download the Locker Room app. I think it's an iPhone only app right now, but you follow me in there and we have a conversation. And if you want to talk to me, I can let you on. There's like a stage, they call it, and we can have a conversation. And it's a way, it's kind of like a Q&A. But it's a way that we can talk to each other too. So it involves a little bit more personal interaction. I'm going to do it once a week, every week. And some of that, not all of it, but a chunk of it will end up on this podcast that next day. So here's some of my conversations with some of the fans on Locker Room.
I think my main point on Aaron Gordon is people act like, offensively, he's been this first option for Orlando, but he's had Vucevic and Fournier in front of him as offensive options, which is pretty similar to having Jalen and Jason in front of him in the pecking order, per se. So I'm not sure if we're going to see this sort of him turn into this Draymond type defender to make up for his like offensive shortcomings.
I mean, that's a fair point. I think with Orlando, they've just had so much turnover and so many different players over the course of his career that he still has to be one of their top scoring options. And then, but in this Boston offense, he can literally be the fourth or fifth option. Depending on who's on the floor with him. And that's why I think, like, he's still taking, like, his shots are down a little bit this year, but he's still somewhere around the 14, 15 shot range per game. This year he's, like, at 11. So I think he could even drop, like, a little bit more or change the types of shots that he's taking and maybe use him more where his strengths lie. And that's I think the bigger thing. Having your primary scorer as a big, like Vucevic, versus having your primary scorers around the perimeter, just opens things up a little bit for him, especially if you are going to use him as a small ball five. So I agree. Like, it's not like he's going from primary guy to sixth man, but I do think that there's some level of usage that is going to kind of adjust. Almost like, I'll compare it to this. When you go to get your eyes checked, and you know how they flip the thing and they go better or worse? Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, this is a little bit better. Like, that little flip of the lens is what I think will happen with him in Boston. It's not going to be like going from blurry to like perfect, but they're going to flip it and you're going to go, oh yeah, this is a little bit better. This is definitely a better version. So I think your point is important, that in the discussion of Aaron Gordon, we don't overblow how much of a change it'll be. I think it'll just be more of a refining, almost like a puzzle piece, fitting in a little bit better in Boston. And that alone will unlock, I think, what he does best. And I think that'll work better, if it happens, with the personnel that the Celtics have.
That makes sense. I guess that dovetails in this overarching point that I've been thinking of that I'm sure everyone's going to hate. I really think this is going to be a year where the Celtics just have to like eat their dog food and like take this step back to just continue to let the young players play. And the reason for that is you were saying earlier, the salary cap is in a real tough spot right now. And making a short-term move, I think Aaron Gordon might be a good piece, but making a short-term move where we're giving up two of our highest, most recent draft picks, either Nesmith or Romeo for someone like Harrison Barnes, when our two best players, both Tatum and Jalen, I haven't seen them perform in the clutch in the way that would make me confident that in high-level playoff games, which is why we would get someone like Harrison Barnes or Aaron Gordon, that if we're going head-to-head against Giannis or KD and the Nets, that they would put us over the hump. So I feel like we're trying to almost shortcut where we're supposed to be, where our young players need to continue to take their lumps as first options.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And there's an important balance that needs to be struck with the Celtics. And I agree that – so looking at Orlando, Evan Fournier, who's only making $1 million less, seems like he'd be a target. But what it would take to get Fournier, is that worth, first of all, some of the things that you talked about? And what's the long-term impact on this team? So you're talking about letting these guys go through a postseason as the number one options, right? And let's see you guys grow into Jordan and Pippen, you know, of this Celtics rebuild, right? Like, let's see if you guys can do that. And that is what's going to happen this year, no matter what. But there's a longer term approach that every GM is going to look at. And part of getting Aaron Gordon in is all of the stuff that we talked about, but he makes $16.5 million next year. If the Celtics bring him in and he does really well, either you've got a guy that's like, damn, he fits, this is perfect, or you've got a guy who's like, he kind of fits, but his value is up pretty high, and we've got a guy that we know we want to get in Bradley Beal because we want to pair Bradley Beal with Jason Tatum. And if Aaron Gordon's playing well, and now his $16 million really is part of a package to get Bradley Beal, because Washington would be interested in him playing the way he would theoretically play with the Celtics. Like, that's some of the long-term thing. Like, Bradley Beal's, he's out there, and I think the Celtics are aware. We just watched a whole weekend where Beal and Tatum were like, "This is so amazing. We're playing on the same team. This is so great. We've never had this before." You don't think that those guys talked about being on the same team over there in Atlanta? You don't think that Danny Ainge is sitting there kind of like shitting himself, going like, okay, where it's got to be Boston. If they're going to play on the same team, we've got to make it Boston. And we've got to try to find a way to get to Bradley Beal." So the deals that he makes, we all tend to look at them as short term. How does this help this team today? There's also a longer term, how does this deal play into potential future moves? And the one future move after this past weekend that kind of has to be on everybody's mind is how do the Celtics end up trying to get Bradley Beal somehow, some way? And so does Aaron Gordon do that? Maybe, maybe not. It's hard for me to say. Bradley Beal still doesn't want to leave Washington, as far as we know. But I tell you what, if Danny Ainge told Jason Tatum, we've got enough here to get Bradley Beal if he's interested in leaving, and then Tatum goes back channels to Bradley Beal like, "Hey, I know you don't want to leave Washington, but if you want to come to Boston, we got you," then all of a sudden things change. So there's a lot that goes into this trade deadline, this traded player exception, and a good portion of it has nothing to do with this year's team or maybe even next year's team.
Again, I'll be doing that once a week. I'll be announcing it on Twitter, scheduling it, and you can hop on. And, obviously the more people come on, we'll have, try to rifle through everybody. We can have a nice conversation with everyone. It's an interesting concept. It's my first time using Locker Room. And so I think it's kind of cool. I know there are a few different apps that do the same thing. It's just a, it, this is a new, it's funny how the more advanced we get, the more old school we become, because this is like, this is just like the old party lines that I used to see advertised on TV. You can just call in and it's just done differently. We have a conversation. So it'll be fun. So it's on Locker Room. I'll be tweeting it out and sharing part of it on this podcast. So maybe if you join me there, your part can show up on this podcast. Hopefully, if you're a new listener, that's enough for you to subscribe. If you're still here, hopefully you've enjoyed the show enough to click that subscribe button, follow on Spotify. Regular listeners, thank you for listening. Thank you for following and all of that stuff. I really hope you enjoy the show enough to give a good 5-star rating and a good written review. And of course, share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.